Episode 7 of the A-League, Saturday morning. We made it in after a tough loss, Georgia State. It was ugly last night, man. Mm. Tears as I went to sleep. How y'all feeling, man?
Happy New Year.
What?
It's college football time, man. Happy
yeah,
New Year.
Yeah, baby. LSU, we in the house national championship this year, 2016. I'm just going to lay that out. 2017, I'm sorry. We're just going to lay it out
they
like
said
that.
That's false because you need a quarterback to win the national championship.
All right, get out. That is this is the last episode for Rashad. Everybody tweet him. Tell him what you know what you enjoyed about his time in the A-League, but he's done.
Bring back Anthony Jennings.
No.
Does he even start for his backup?
Where's
backup
he at? Right. Where Anthony?
Anthony Jennings is at UL Lafayette, and it's a quarterback competition as of before the season started.
So that shows you right there.
You started a full season in the SEC, and you went to the Sun Belt, and you still have a quarterback. There's something wrong.
Stop
Jennings.
Caping for this dude, man.
This is my dog, man. Marietta, bro. I got the Marietta shirt on right now. Dansby Swanson doing big things in the majors.
Wow.
Anthony Jennings was supposed to be there right with them in football,
you
but
really
you know.
Shall not. It's so you repping Amigos too, huh, then? Marietta?
No, go. That's Gwinnett.
Oh, okay.
Go Tar Heels. War Eagle.
Get out.
Let's jump into it. Kaepernick, first topic, man. The afro to me is dope. I want to say that first to him. Salute. Man, and last night when I read that the local police of Santa Clara would not be attending the games anymore. They refused to show up. They refused to protect the fans, the rowdy fans, with all the craziness that happens at NFL games because they want the San Francisco 49ers to check Kaepernick, put him in line, and tell him that he's speaking against what the police stand for, and they feel like they're supposed to protect the citizens. And they feel like they do a good job at that. But obviously we know that there's a problem that they're not. So he's addressed it. He's used his First Amendment right to do so. How did everybody feel about Kaepernick when it came out last week? I know we was actually recording when it first dropped. David was showing me. But how did y'all feel about it?
As far as the whole Kaepernick bit is concerned, I mean, what has really gotten me more so than just the actions of Kaepernick has been the fact that, you know, there's so much reaction. And I think in many ways, the reaction really proves Kaepernick's point. I mean, and the fact that the Santa Clara police is now all of a sudden that they're not going to, you know, attend the games of the 49ers, it really takes me back to when the security in Minnesota said that they were going to do the same thing after the Minnesota Lynx players wore the Black Lives Matter shirts. Yeah. So that's what it took me back to me. But again, just the reaction to all the Kaepernick stuff, it really proves his point. And I was thinking about this as I was coming in. You know, for African Americans, you know we get much maligned in so many ways because, you know, a lot of people that like to down the Black Lives Matter movement, they say, oh, it's just a bunch of, you know, rowdy protesters, so they say they're protesting violently. This is essentially peaceful protest on the part of Kaepernick, and he's still getting flack for it. So it's one of those things where he thinks, like, you know, as, you know, even though he's a mixed person, you think, as, you know, as African Americans, how are we supposed to protest?
Exactly.
That's how I would like to know. If we can't protest, you know, peacefully, how are we supposed to protest?
Yes. Yeah, and that goes to, like, Boomer Esiason when he went at Kaepernick. I didn't get that at all because it's – you can't try to tell somebody when and where and how they should stand up for a cause. I mean, that's that whole mentality that's like, boy, you know, when you hear the boy, like, no, we don't want to hear it. You can't tell me when and where and how I should stand up for something. And as an athlete, I don't care how much money you make. Like, this is still – you're still – at the end of the day, you're still African-American. No amount of money can deter you away from what your people are going through daily. You had Jim Brown and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like people like that who, like, pretty much they passed the torch on for Kaepernick and people like us now modernly the millennials to keep this fight on. It doesn't stop now. You don't think it's over because they want you to think it's over. They want you to think that there's nothing to complain about. And I'm proud of Kaepernick for doing it and the way he did it. Okay, and I think he had to do it that way, as loud as it was, because you know this national anthem is so near and dear to everyone, but it's not standing for what is actually going on in the country. Internally, we have a lot of issues here, and I feel like a lot of times there's like this whole safe face mentality where we want everybody in the world to think that we have everything under control, but they don't. And what he's doing, what he's highlighting is that regardless of you want to bring in the military and all that, that has nothing to do with internal issues that we have in the country. And to me, that bothered me the most when people brought up military, because first of all, when a lot of these veterans come back, we don't even take care of them. Yeah. So don't come up in here trying to tell me that all of a sudden now they matter. No. You're trying to use that to mask your ignorance. That doesn't have anything, that has no correlation with racial issues, domestic violence issues, all this type of stuff we have going on. But that bothered me just the most.
The first thing that bothered me was that people asked for athletes to speak up. Mm-hmm. So now you got a guy that wants to speak up, and the first thing people do is, you know, pick at how he chose to protest. First of all, that's his right to protest how he wants to. You wanted him to say something, and he said it. Mm-hmm. So what I don't get is that just because you don't agree with it, somebody, now he's a bad person, or now he deserves to lose his job, or he's this, or he's that. Because you don't agree with it, now that it's an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was crazy. Like, I remember when the story first broke, it was like 2:45 a.m. Saturday, and I was just like, they was teasing it on Twitter. It was like, you know, we got a big story coming in 15 minutes at 2:30 a.m. And I was just like, and then it got 2:45, and it's like, Kaepernick's not standing for the national anthem. I was just like,
yeah.
I was like, that's a story. And and then, like, you know, we were doing the show, and then next thing, like, Kaepernick had this long speech and stuff. And I was like, wow, because, you know, I followed Kaepernick since he got in the league, you know, and I was just like, you wouldn't think he was that type of quarterback, because, you know, like, mm-hmm. he used to be, you know, Jim Harbaugh was there. You know, he's the type of quarterback that ran his touchdowns, flexed his biceps and kissed his biceps.
Yeah.
You know, just being to himself and stuff. And, you know, you just never think, like, Colin Kaepernick. Just like, to be the one. Because I was like, you know, we always talked for weeks, like, man, Michael Bennett going to do this on his own. And, you know, Kaepernick, of all people, you know, stood up and said something. And I'm just like, because, I mean, I noticed, like, over the past couple months, he's been more vocal about issues such as police brutality and stuff on social media, but to actually bring it out to the forefront, you know, a lot of people love to be social media activists, but to sacrifice their, you know, reputation and stuff is like, you know, you're in an NFL football game, you're gonna make your presence be known that, you know, that you're serious about this, and the thing that gets me about those situations is just like the whole message has been lost, and it's really sad, because you know they're making this out to be a whole patriotic thing or not, and sadly it's only a matter of time before his religion gets brought into it, and that's really gonna make things crazy.
Anything to distract from the message. Yeah.
That was my second point.
It's just like, you know, literally, you know, he's trying to address police brutality and issues amongst African Americans, and it's like everybody's trying to find something wrong. You know, Rodney Harrison questioned his race. He's like, I didn't know he was black, and I'm just like, really? And he's like, you know, I did. You know, and later retract saying like he is black, and the fact being, you know, like just like as we talked the past couple of weeks, if he was black or not, you know, you should be still talking about these issues.
Exactly.
And so I'm just like, you know, why does he have to be black to address issues and stuff? And it's just really sad. It's like how divided stuff is. Like, you know, nitpicking on everything, because, you know, you got, you know, the St. Louis Rams, or, well, now L.A. Rams, you know, they did their thing for the, you know, the hands up, don't shoot when they came out. People complained about that. Then you had the people laying down in the lobby and stuff.
Beyonce at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's complaints different. And stuff. And it's just like, what can you do? It's like there's no perfect way to. It seems like there's no perfect way to protest. You know, I'm listening to radio all this week, and they're just like, you know, he shouldn't have did this. And it's just like, you know, how else can he do it? You know, because I'm like, the dude might not have a platform. Like, he may not get a post-game press conference, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he got Gabbert starting quarterback, so.
This is his chance right here.
And, it's the crazy thing about it, you know, he's been doing this all preseason. And they're now just bringing this to attention week three, week four. And he's been doing this and stuff. And he's doing this for himself, you know. It's not, you know, doing this for a cause, you know, not over here just to draw attention and stuff, you know, because, you know, it's easy to say, you know, like, oh, he's just doing this because he's about to get cut, so he's trying to go out with a bang.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, he's really trying to stick up for his people and stuff. It's not nothing that's attention and stuff, and, you know, because I know that they're not used to people doing this, like, especially on his stature. You know, I applaud him. Like, I was very proud of when I saw Kaepernick, do it, made me want to follow what's going on even more, because, you know, really pay attention to his words, unlike other people, you know, just like, you know, because he's really trying to get that message about it. And even going back to this week where he takes a knee, you know, a knee, you know, because he's listening.
Eric Reed joined him too.
Yeah, Eric Reed, Jeremy Lane, you know, he's listening. He's not over here just trying to, he's trying to make sure his message is getting put out.
And he applauded the time when they actually named the military. When they were giving them their, when they were appreciating the military that they actually were at the game, and they gave them, you know, their time, their moment, and they gave them, he actually stood up and he applauded them. People forgot that part. They didn't put that on the internet, but he was standing up and praising them for that. It's just when the national anthem started, then that's when he took the knee. But yeah, go ahead. That was also forgotten.
Yeah, it's just, you know, media, what they want to cover. It's just, they want this.
They can't control it. If they can't control it, they have an issue. Yeah, they want to be able to control athletes.
Akeem earlier, he said this reminded him of something. It also reminds me of something. Just 50 years ago, you know, we had the whites only water fountains and the Negroes color fountains. That was just 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. Less than 200 years ago, we were in slavery. So, I mean, come on now. It reminds me of something else. It reminds me of just blatant racism, Jim Crow. It reminds me of all of that, because black folks can't do anything, because every time black folks does something, it's a problem. When white people protest on Wall Street and they shut it down, or, you know, there's some thing for where everybody's doing it, majority white, it's just, okay, they're using their First Amendment right and they're standing up for what's right and they're fighting for whatever and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
When black folks do it, it's a problem. But, so what I really wanted to say was with the whole Kaepernick situation, me personally, I'm going to stand up for the national anthem and I'm going to put my right hand over my heart, because no country is perfect. No country is perfect. But America's pretty darn good. And, you know, there's little things, and I'm going to stand up and represent it. And I'm going to respect the flag and I'm going to respect this country. But at the same token, you can't get mad that he's exercising his First Amendment.
Exactly.
Like, you know, the fact that the local police chiefs are, the local police department, you know, they're
protesting,
saying, protesting his protest. Like, that's childish.
That's highlighting his whole point.
Exactly. Grow up. Grow up, man. You guys are like 50, 40 years old. Grow up.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just a childish act. And it's stupid. And to say, put your boy, quote unquote, in line. That's another form of Jim Crow and slavery. And it's truly sad. But shout out to Drew Brees, because Drew Brees, he spoke out on Black Lives Matter, and we forgot that. I didn't know. Someone brought it to my attention.
See,
this
I didn't
week.
Know that, because I had an issue with Brees before you just said that, because I didn't hear anything from him when Philando Castro Alton Sterling. But Alton Sterling, when he was murdered, I didn't hear anything from Brees, so I took upset. You know, I didn't like that, because I said, all right, he stood up when Kaepernick did this. I heard him speak out, but I didn't hear anything when that happened. But if he did, then I got to correct that, and I'll definitely acknowledge that. I thought Brees was pretty silent on that, because we were talking about quarterbacks last week. White quarterbacks, what are they going to do? When are they going to start actually
Rodgers
speaking
out? Rodgers and Brady.
Rodgers.
And Rodgers also spoke out about the Kaepernick thing. Rodgers wasn't for it. He didn't like it. And so was Brees. Brees was like, you know, I understand the protest is racial injustices in our nation and stuff, but you don't disrespect the flag. And it's like,
they jumped out.
All you guys said, pretty much, just to sum it up, you know, you shouldn't be forced to represent or respect the flag or the country or show a certain form of public patriotism, you know, the way that everybody else does it or the way that we were raised to do it. That's brainwash.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If this is the land of the free, we should be have the free will to choose however we want to, like, respect our country, show our patriotism. Mm-hmm. It's just like church. God gave us free will to worship him or whatever we want to do. We don't have to stand up and clap in church just because we were raised to do that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. People worship in different ways. Some people doing silently while sitting down, while just meditating on themselves. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
It's all different forms.
It's
man.
Free.
Yeah, yeah. Kaepernick, I feel like he is patriotic for that very reason alone, is that he wants better for the country. And whatever way he tries to display that, that's on, you know, that's his choice. But I think he is very patriotic. I don't understand the backlash on that. Because we have to, like, I think I even said it last week, just making people uncomfortable is the best way for this to move along. And the youth is going to see this. That's another great thing about it, is they're going to look up to Kaepernick and how he's handled himself throughout this whole ordeal and learn from that. And when it's their time to make a movement, like, you know, when they get of age that they can, then they'll be able to make it even, progress will be made even more, just because, like, I forgot what a football player was saying, but we got to use even more technology than we've ever had. Like, there's so many movements before us that they didn't have what we have. So we had to definitely expound on that and use our platform and that technology, you know, technology base wise to actually make some big progress here. But no, I'm definitely proud of Kaepernick. I didn't like the Sox thing. I thought that probably was ticked off the police. But I mean, I think that for him to do that, then it takes away from the message. I think that's the only thing I had wrong with it. If, like you're saying, if you don't want to sing along with the national anthem and put your hand over your heart, that's whatever. But the Sox were definitely, to me, out of line.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the Castro shirt.
And the Castro shirt, yeah. There's a lot of, no, you offended a lot of people when it comes to that.
I mean, but how many people who actually have heard his message? I mean, dude, I haven't seen anywhere what people have been saying what he actually said afterwards. I mean, Most of the talk about this situation has been him not wanting to stand up for a national anthem. I mean,
they're not talking about what he's actually standing up against.
It's some media that's interested, but it's just like they're like, he's out of his mind. He's not. It's not as bad as they think it is.
A lot of people,
like, people usually respond to that, or they be like, if he don't like the country, he can leave.
Yeah, you know, Trump said that, right? Yeah.
But you know,
talking to the privilege.
Last year people were arguing that if the Confederate flag was just a flag and the meaning wasn't...
It's about heritage. It's not about hate.
Exactly. But now, when Kaepernick's protesting, now it's like, okay, well, this flag is all... It's everything it means, it actually means, and I need you to follow it. You know, you get what I'm saying? Like, it was different last year. Now the argument's opposite.
Yeah, it for sure.
Nobody's actually hearing what he's actually saying. They're just seeing him protesting the American flag and the national anthem.
Yeah, and he's speaking for not just racially, but he mentioned even just anybody that he feels has been oppressed, which is people living in poverty as well. You know, it's not just racially.
Go ahead. It's also kind of ironic because Kaepernick is doing this in the exact same year where earlier we lost Muhammad Ali.
Yep.
When we lost Muhammad Ali, we remembered him as the greatest of all time in boxing. We remember him for that. But we also, but I think, lost in even a lot of the remembrance packages that we saw on the media, whether it be CNN or ESPN or something. When we were seeing that, I think that they kind of brushed off the fact that he was also a very, very, very huge social activist.
Yeah.
And he was also standing up for his people. Yeah. So in many ways, what Kaepernick is doing is in the spirit of Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, definitely. When they, like somebody like Muhammad Ali, they'll quickly be able to, they don't mind praising somebody like him or even MLK when it came to that, because they felt like a lot of people feel like in some regards they were able to control, you know, how far their message could go. But when it comes to somebody like Malcolm X, who's outright, you know, speaking against what this, you know, this country stands for, then they have an issue with it. You know, we don't have a Malcolm X Day, obviously, and that's for a reason. But no, I agree. Are you saying something?
Yeah, don't forget that Muhammad Ali, he was hated.
Yeah.
When he did it, like, it wasn't like the when he died and on June 4th and everyone was like, Muhammad Ali, the social rights activist. Nah, man. Yeah. people hated him when he decided not to go to the military. And, you know, they were like, okay, we're going to take all your money, all your deals, all your, you know, your boxing license. Mm-hmm. We're not even going to let you fight amateur. Yep. And then all that. So you know, like.
But they started praising him real quickly. They started praising him as soon as he couldn't speak anymore. So exactly. You know, you realize
in the
that,
90s.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, in the 90s. Yeah, I mean, it might be the same thing with Kaepernick if we make some progress. But I just want to give you guys an exclusive because I feel like on A-League I can let these things out and stuff. This week for Primetime Sports at Georgia State, we have a quarterback competition. We have between Connor Manning, who's a white quarterback from California, and Aaron Winchester, a black quarterback from the Atlanta area. Mm. And so my entire angle going into the week was to talk to them about this flag controversy, just because we haven't really heard from, you know, as we discussed, from the white quarterbacks that much. And I was like, well, you know, I'm in this position to ask a white quarterback for myself to see why, damn it. So I asked both of them, Aaron, the black quarterback, if you forgot, he was like, well, you know, his grandfather was a veteran, so he's going to respect the flag. He fought in Vietnam, but he feels like he doesn't have the position to tell someone what they can or cannot do.
Okay.
Connor Manning, he said he felt uncomfortable answering the question. Well, he didn't say he felt uncomfortable. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I got to be careful.
Hold
here.
Up.
He said it's a tough question to answer because it is so touchy subject. Yep. But he said he feels like he's not in a position to tell someone what they can or cannot do.
Yeah.
And that's as much as he would say. And that's how much both of them would say. They pretty much said the same thing. Yeah. Aaron just said he had a grandfather who was a veteran. So the story had to be changed, and I changed it to some, like, bland leadership quarterback thing. But that was the original.
That was good that you asked them, though. Right, they needed, as young as they are, even, and if they want to be professionals, and they're going to have to still – they got to answer those questions eventually, you know.
Right,
so
right.
That's good to get it like, while they're young.
Yeah, great to find a local angle.
Right. A-League exclusive.
Yeah. Y'all ready to get into Chris Breezy? What happened to him this week, man? Looking like he was in GTA with the 5 stars on, man. He was in the crib just ranting. And I didn't understand what was going on at first. But apparently... Baleen Corinne, I don't know if I'm saying her name correctly, 25-year-old, was in his crib chilling, saw some jewelry, said she wanted it, and she says that Chris Brown told her, do not touch the jewelry, and then put a gun to her head, which to me, I mean, come on. So, as you know, as everything's coming out, then we find out that there's a text message that she sent to one of her friends saying that I'm going to set him up. He just told me to get out. I'm going to say that he kicked me out and put a gun to my head. Teach this guy a lesson. And then the person she texts responded and said, that's really messed up. That's really wrong for you to do. You shouldn't do something like that. And we saw what happened anyway. What threw me off was how quick she ran to the media. I was like, dude, I didn't even see anything else happen, but I saw her interviews before I saw Chris Brown doing any of the rants or even them finding out details about it. It was just her and TMZ acting like she was a victim, like she's been really emotionally hurt. And I was just like, this is why you don't just let first of all, as somebody at your status, don't let everybody in your crib, man. Like, know who you are. They said that he was going to try to give her some waiver to sign. That doesn't matter. Like, she got what she wanted. She knew what she wanted to get in there for and to try to make some kind of story to get herself more popular. I mean, apparently she's like some former Miss California, who was stripped of her title, by the way, for I don't know, breaching some contract. She did something. I'm not going to say what I read, but she did do something to get her crown taken away. And she still hasn't returned the crown, by the way. I don't know how you do that. So she got a crown hostage. So I don't know, Chris. His past is going to make everybody pretty much try to blow this thing up two times because they just want to, everybody wants to try him.
And race.
Yeah, everybody wants to. So it's like the same thing like Cat Williams or Michael Vick or even what he did with MJ. I mean, at some point, the media's just going to keep trying you. They're going to try to push your buttons.
Yeah, when you're Chris Brown, you almost have to, you know, you have to really, you know, just be careful exactly like who you let in your inner circle, because everybody clearly, when people think of, you know, when Chris Brown is going through any sort of transgressions, people automatically think Rihanna.
Yep.
They automatically think of the Rihanna issue. So all of a sudden, now that this is out, everybody's going to think, oh, this is the same dude that beat Rihanna. So now all of a sudden, now with this, it's only going to bring even more and more and more negative press for him. That's why he just really has to be careful as far as who he lets into his inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he can have, you know, he can make millions upon billions of dollars, you know, doing music and everything. But you know, sometimes you got to look in the mirror and recognize that, you know, you have a microscope. You have a microscope as large as the state of California on you wherever you go, given that you're a celebrity. And the fact that people still remember the Rihanna issue,
yeah, yeah.
You got to remember that. If you Chris Brown, you got to remember that.
They had helicopters over the house. I didn't understand that. I was like,
what did he do?
Take all that for Chris Brown? He's a singer.
That's what I'm saying. What's he going to do? Is he going to crump his way out? Like, dude, he's not going to do anything.
It's not like they went in there to arrest.
He's a black man.
It's not like they went in there to arrest Conor McGregor or somebody. Like, he was going to come out fighting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Chris Brown. He may sing you a song.
Yeah, he's,
wow.
It's a black man, and they're dangerous.
Yeah, he's dangerous. Yeah. I mean, the girl ran to him quick and said, oh, my God, he did it. No, he didn't.
I feel like it was his reputation that was easy to play off anyway. So,
true.
In a way, it's really his fault a little bit because of the way he has perceived himself and all the things he's done in the past, which isn't fair for people to, you know, judge that, but that's what she played on. Well, people are going to believe this because it's Chris Brown, and, you know, he's a bad dude, and he's beaten women before, so it's not outside of the realm that this is true. So
yeah.
And in her case, that's terrible because I don't even really know what I should say about her doing that.
Because she was a nobody before this.
Yeah, like that's sad because that she needed the attention that badly that she would do that to somebody who wasn't even really doing anything to her.
He's easy to get, like you said, easy to get attention off of. Anything you do with him is, you know, it's good.
So if you're Chris Brown, like you definitely gotta be more careful about who you're letting in your circle.
Especially Ray J, man. Ray J was there and he stood up for him, but I'm sorry, people just need to stay away from Ray J.
Right? Yeah, Ray J
every time he's somewhere, that was a film going down.
That was an atomic bomb waiting to have it that Ray J was there too. Yeah. And Chris Brown in the same house.
Hey, dog, right. He didn't do nothing, dog.
Hey, Mercedes outside.
I was like, Ray J, stop, man. You're still Brandy's brother.
Man, all right. So the funniest thing I got from all of this is a tweet. You know, it's like that the LAPD has a standoff outside of Chris Brown's house. And then someone retweeted and said, how you going to be outside the crib? You can't even get in. So the second thing I want to say is I'm not going to give birds that much attention, so I'm done talking.
Wow.
Drop
the bomb, man.
Mm.
Dude.
That's it right there.
They say he got a September 20th court date, but they didn't find any guns in the house at all. And first of all, I don't know what dude. You got a brother man from Martin, like, selling jewelry around the house. I don't understand how somebody's just... Who's doing that at Chris Brown's house selling, like, drugs? I don't get it. So that, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway.
I mean, yeah, it was just crazy like, when I first heard about it and stuff. Man, I was just like, dang, this is going to be like Corn Gangs Part 2. Set this dude's going to be more famous than the girl. I was just like, SWAT team stuff. And it's just like, I was like, he's not invisible. I'm like, you know, I could see if he was like, you know.
They went in there looking at arrest Debo.
Yep. That's the wrong house, dude.
It's like El Chapo was in the house or something.
Use that type of energy to get El Chapo. I saw it's not Chris Brown, dude.
They didn't even look for it. Osama bin Laden that hard.
Is that true? I'm kind of rooting for El Chapo on the low.
And
then
they knew where this man was at. And they still had to have the SWAT team. They got the U.S. Army. They called to borrow a few troops from Mexico and all that.
I'm just amazed he made it out alive, honestly. After all these stories the past couple of years, you're just like, oh, wow, they're going to get a famous guy now.
Yeah, yeah.
They should have used that energy trying to keep Brock Turner in jail.
True, true. And he got out, he did 3 months, right?
Only 3 months.
Get out of here, man. Somebody going to get to him, though. I ain't going to say who, though. Mm. So let's get on Gambino's Atlanta. We have Gambino's son in the building, as he referred to himself in the group chat yesterday. And you know what? I think he's probably right. I don't know if he can speak on what's actually going to happen this season because he's under contract. So, but how's everybody feeling about Gambino's Atlanta? And it's dropping Tuesday at 10 o'clock on FX. Look at that. We're promoting them. Man. They need to pay us some money for that. Look at that drop.
I am so excited for this show, man. It's going to be really good. Gambino said he can't represent everyone's views of Atlanta because it's so different. Like, everybody in Atlanta. Like, someone from Buckhead and North Fulton has a different story than someone from Stone Mountain. So, you know, like, it's his view of Atlanta, and it's going to be really good, and it's going to be really funny. That's all I can really say about it. And then, as far as Pharrell's, like, Pharrell started last night, and according to everybody, it was, like, really weird, and he was, like, very experimental. And so I guess it was a letdown. So he let us down with the music, but I don't think he's going to let us down with this TV show.
Well, crazy thing, I was supposed to go to that Pharrell's. I have a homeboy that's there right now. Yeah, it was supposed to be five of us that was supposed to leave. And then last minute, we decided not to because we didn't know. He said he's building like a city.
Yeah.
My boy Sean told me that he's actually built. We thought we had to like drive because it's way out there in Joshua Street.
Right.
So we were like, oh, we got to drive out there. How are we going to, you know, I guess we got to just sleep the night there because it's going to be late because all his shows are going to run late.
Right.
So we didn't know. But yeah, apparently he like built a whole city. I'm sad to hear about that it didn't turn out as good as people hope.
Other people, you know, obviously they're going to be people no matter what he does. They're going to be like, oh, it was amazing because
True. He
hasn't put out music in like 16 months.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Or no.
No, it's
2 years. It's been 2 years.
The internet, right?
Yeah. No, he put out Stone Mountain mixtape.
Oh, yeah, the mixtape.
And
yeah.
October 2014, so 2 years.
Wow. Right. Nah, that's true, though. Okay, well, I mean, even though he said he also was making music while he was, like, writing for the show, so I'm sure that was, yeah. Go ahead.
This is probably the most excited I've been for a TV show since maybe Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came out, which I was kind of disappointed, or The Game when it was at its peak. I mean, I'm really excited because Atlanta is such a diverse place, and there's so many different stories that you can tell. Just if you go 10 minutes up 85, you'll be in a whole different city,
exactly.
Basically. And there's the city is made up of four or five different cities in general. By like, if you just drive, like I said, 5-10 minutes, you're in a different city or a different part of a different world, basically. So I'm glad he's going to tell a little bit of those stories. And it really will give people insight into what like living in Atlanta is like. Because I grew up in Athens, and when I lived downtown for 3 years, it was completely different from what I had heard or seen on TV. Because it's not as glamorous as
VH1.
You see on the,
ruining it.
Yeah,
the Housewives of Atlanta.
I really think he's gonna get to the, you know, what Atlanta's actually like. So that's I'm really excited to see that.
The cast. Oh, go ahead.
Eric, you just said it. Housewives of Atlanta, because I think in a lot of ways Atlanta gets a bad rap because of the fact, because when people think Atlanta, they automatically think of the Housewives. But, like Jeremy just said, and like, you know, Rashad just said, and like you just said, you know, it's comprised of people from different places, mm-hmm. you know, different dialects, many different walks of life. Atlanta really is, in many ways, despite sometimes the bad rap that it gets overall in the press. Mm. It really is an international city because you have people from all over the country, people from all over the world that are moving here. I know people in New York that are planning on moving to Atlanta.
Exactly.
I know people from D.C. moving to Atlanta. I know people from Chicago, Detroit,
moving
to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, these are people of all sorts of, you know, they come from different backgrounds. They're of different creeds. They're of different colors. They're of different races. They're of different languages. So it's great that all of these stories are being told because really and truthfully, Atlanta really is a city on the rise. And now that we have a show that is going to tell those stories and showcase that more and more of that light, it really, you know, it can only be great for Atlanta as a whole, especially with, you know, there are already so many film projects being done, you know, around Atlanta.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, something like this is going on now, it can only be great.
And we all went to the GSU, so we saw how diverse it was at GSU alone, man. And I like it coming from Gambino's standpoint because, like you were saying, Rashad, it's just like everybody in Atlanta has different experiences. And like Gambino is like that perfect like image of that because everybody has this perception of Atlanta people. I remember I went to Chicago years ago, and I was chilling with one of my cousins, and this lady was just like, oh, you don't sound like you're from Atlanta. I was like, what? I like, not everybody sounds like T.I. from ATL, dog. Like, I looked at her like, and then the dude with me was like, I don't even worry about her. Just like, let it slide. But I was looking at her like, this is really what they think about us. Like, that movie ATL might have messed, I love that movie, but it might have messed up the whole image of everybody here because she was looking at me like, you're not supposed to sound like that. You're not supposed to dress like that because she's thinking everybody here has dreads with blonde tips at the ends and we look like we're all part of Migos or whatever it is. And it's like, I'm like, yo, that's not how we all are, dog. Like, there's different, we're just like y'all. It's Chicago, New York, whatever it is. Like, it's different in every city. We got different kinds of people. I don't understand why Atlanta has to get this just one group of people.
Because that's where our music's coming from.
True.
Thank you.
We're controlling music, too.
Gold tip, people.
But, yeah, like, I mean, at this, yeah, like you said, how Gambino's such a great representation of how diverse Atlanta is, because he's a rapper from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he's, like,
Mountain.
You know, he's, like, a regular rapper, you know, yep, what I'm saying? Like, yep, he's very hipster. Like, he started off as a nerdy rapper, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, and he's from Atlanta. So, but I think I see Atlanta as a state and Georgia as a country, just because, like, it's so different and it's so big too at the same time.
That's a good way. You go anywhere else, it's like Jeremy was saying, you go anywhere else, it's, you feel like you're in a totally different state alone. Like, it's just everybody has a different vibes around the city. So, look forward to that. Gambino's Atlanta, Tuesday, 10 p.m., FX. Let's jump to the next one. Jeremy's favorite topic, UGA football, plays today at, he said, 5:30, North Carolina, Georgia Dome, the debut of a new era. Are you excited about this, man?
Yes, sir.
What's going to happen this season? Because we're going to talk about what we expect from UGA this season. I'm going to let you start it off because I know this is near and dear to your heart.
I mean, I cried a little bit when they said Grayson Lambert was the quarterback. But other than that, I'm ready to go, man. I bleed red and black. I'm always going to bleed red and black. So, yuck. Well.
Did somebody say yuck?
Oh, I know.
You read that?
you didn't know.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, we was making sure. But I'm expecting a big year. Nobody's really expecting the Bulldogs to do much this year. Tennessee showed me the other night that they're beatable.
Yes.
So
yes.
The East is UGA's to grab, and Kirby Smart's attitude is not going to allow them to underachieve. Mark Reed's attitude is why they underachieved so much over the last 25,000 years.
Say it.
But
say it.
Now that they have somebody who's going to expect winning, this year is the perfect, the East is laid out for them to step into what they should have been doing for the last 10 years and eventually just take it. Because I can see them going 11-1 this year. If Grayson Lambert gives them anything, I eventually think Jacob Eason will be the starter. But with Chubb coming back, you got Michelle, you got Elijah Holyfield going to step in there. He's going to play a little bit. They've got some receivers that I'm really excited about, too. Jason Stanley, he's not going to be a key guy early in the year, but he's going to be a guy that shows up later. Riley Ridley. Those guys are going to be able to stretch the defense for Eason when he finally gets in there.
I saw that y'all receiving corps is really young.
Yeah, but
that guy Stanley, I think, is he like a pretty speedy receiver?
He's got speed, but he's also a bigger receiver.
Bigger receiver, okay.
So
okay.
He's one of those outside guys, those long, lanky, 6'2" guys. He's one of those. I think it's going to be a year where Georgia sneaks up on a lot of people. I can see them going 11-1.
I actually have 11-1 too. Yeah, I agree with you on 11-1. I actually do. Joshua Dobbs, that whole thing I saw from Tennessee was pitiful. But they were picked the favorite. It's just one game, obviously. But the East, like you're saying, is really open because you got Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee only has the only returning starter. Florida and South Carolina, they have freshman quarterbacks, or very young quarterbacks, inexperienced quarterbacks. I'll say that. So it leaves it very open. I had Georgia going 11-1 as well. But I think, like you hit on Kirby, what he's going to bring is, like, discipline. I saw what he said about Lorenzo Carter. Everybody's looking for him to have a breakout year this year, finally. But he was like, that's a guy right there that has all this potential, but sometimes you have to push him because he can lax. And I think that was the problem with Rick, is what you're saying, that players were laxing, and he wasn't pushing them to the point where they wanted to play harder for him. You got Saban does that so great. Harbaugh does it. A number of these the top coaches, they get their players to play for them. And I think that's what UGA was missing, because every time I watched it, I said, they have all this talent. Like, what is going on? Why can't they play up to the – yeah, look, I don't understand Alabama's that dominant, but what was the score, 38-10?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, that's too much of a margin there. I was like, I know them. I picked them to lose, but still, I was like, it should be at least more competitive than that.
There's not that much more talent on Alabama than there is at UGA. Yeah. And LSU, I think LSU, you know, Les Miles was on the hot seat last year.
He was. We almost got rid of him. We wanted him gone, actually. But
that team plays hard for their coach. They might not even be as talented as UGA's team is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm picking them to win the national championship this year because I know how much they love Les Miles.
Yeah, yeah. So they play for him. Oh, no, he's right. He's right. That's the right pick. Nah. LSU about to, before Nate Heisman, I already got it. I mean, it's just done, man. It's a done deal. Who you got winning the whole thing?
What I got?
Don't say Ohio State.
Clemson.
Okay, all right, damn. No, see, all right, that's fine. Clemson does that. I'm fine with that because I like Deshaun, and we all agree that we want the Falcons to tank to get Deshaun. But anyway, we're fine with that. So Deshaun, him, Heisman, I'm going for that. But
I'm on McCaffrey. McCaffrey, yes.
Did you see that punt return yesterday?
Yeah, exactly. I'm on McCaffrey, yes, a Heisman. Just a side note.
No, I don't blame you on that. That's a good one.
It really is. I mean, like you said, the whole issue, as we mentioned, with UGA over the years has been rigged because there's no reason for a team, for a program in that part of the country, right there in the heart of SEC country, to have underachieved in many ways the way that they're supposed to they've been underachieving. There's been no way. I mean, in many ways, I've been surprised sometimes when I watch UGA play, like how come they have not been on the level of, say, an Alabama or even last year like a Clemson, who, by the way, I also have Clemson winning the national championship this year.
Come on.
Full disclosure.
You guys got the wrong Tigers, man. It's supposed to be LSU Tigers, not the Clemson. They're the real Death Valley. Go ahead.
Tigers all day.
Oh,
tell me about it.
Go ahead.
But yeah, that's been one of those things that I've really observed. Like, how come they have not been on the level of like an Alabama? I think most college football fans outside of the state of Alabama are pretty much going to be thinking anybody but Alabama.
Yeah.
Because I think they've gotten if it's UGA, if it's your beloved LSU Tigers, if it's Clemson, if it's whoever, if it's Ohio State, even if it's Florida, even though I probably shouldn't mention Florida around Jeremy, even though they're kind of inexperienced. But it's one of those things where I think now with everything going on, the whole landscape of college football has basically become anybody but Bama.
Yeah.
Become like the Yankees of college football.
It's getting boring, yeah.
Bama sucks.
It's like you get tired of Golden State. People get tired of them. Everybody gets tired of people who keep winning.
For Georgia to go 11-1, they had to win today against UNC.
Oh, wait, you know what? And, yeah, I picked them winning today. I got them losing against Ole Miss.
They'll win today.
There's an upset alert, though.
Wait, what did you say? What did you say?
Upset alert against UNC.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I got
so you just going to say that and then not tell us why? I mean, because North Carolina's not that good.
New head coach. new head coach, new quarterback.
Yo, Jeremy about to go ham in here, man. So, everybody clear out.
I mean, North Carolina's breaking in a new quarterback, too. I mean,
okay.
And they have one or two players that really should scare UGA's team. That's Elijah Hood and Ryan Switzer. I mean, everybody else is just pretty
UGA
average.
Fans aren't scared of anybody. That's what he's trying to say. That's what Jeremy's trying to say right now.
Hopeless. I hear you, Jeremy.
They're like
I
hopeless romantic.
When do you think Jacob Eason's going to start? I got him game four. He's going to be the starter. I got game four.
I think he starts next week.
Already?
No.
Okay, depending on today. So today's the big tryout. This is it for...
No, I think the only reason Grayson Lambert is getting the start today is because it's a big game. It's on national TV. And it's against an opponent that could possibly cause some problems for a young quarterback, getting complicated with the blitzes and stuff.
Yeah.
And Grayson Lambert has actually seen this defense twice before as a starter, so coming from Virginia. So, I mean, I kind of agree with Kirby on that, but I think, next week will be the perfect time to ease Jacob Eason out there.
It's a lower school.
Nicholas Bay, he can come out there and, get some rhythm and then
get some confidence.
That third game, he'll be ready to be the full-time guy.
I'm ready to see him, though. I am ready to see Jacob.
But back to my point about UNC, season opener. If any week where you get upsets, this is the first week. And this is one of my upset picks. I mean, one upset watches. I wouldn't say upset picks. I wouldn't pick just UNC altogether. But like App State, Tennessee. I had them on the upset list, and this is on the upset list. So
UNC was really good last year. I don't know who else they lost. Yeah, but remember last year they were really up until they played Clemson pretty tough, but I mean, final score didn't show that. But yeah, they were competitive.
The quarterback, the quarterback, he's not really that good. I was at a South Carolina game and dude threw like three picks and he pretty much gave them the game.
Oh, wow. So y'all looking good today.
I feel for any Michigan.
But now they got a better guy at quarterback. So
who's their quarterback? Do you know the quarterback?
I don't know him by name, but I just remember last year they ran two quarterbacks, that black one and right one. And it's like, of course, the white one had a better arm, but black one, he just had
It was like Vic. Hot take.
That's how you get the A-League in trouble. That's how you get us in trouble, man.
I feel for any Michigan fans that were watching that App State-Tennessee game, by the way, because App State, you know.
Oh, they almost pulled it off again?
They almost pulled it off again. And, of course, we know what happened when they, you know, a few years back when they did on Michigan. So I wonder if any fans of Blue Remains were.
It was the same day.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
Michigan number two that year, right?
Yeah, they were number one.
That, that's why it was such a big deal. They were number one.
Yeah, it was Chad Henne.
Something like that.
Chad Henne was a quarterback. Yeah. Damn, we're old.
Chad
Henne been in the league for a minute.
I don't know if he's still in the league.
Henne? He's been third string quarterback for about five different teams.
He's the backup quarterback with the Dolphins.
Okay. He's been with the Dolphins for a minute.
He is.
I feel like.
Is he with the Dolphins?
Chad? Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Hey, Chad, Chad, call in. Tell us where you playing at.
We're trying to figure out how you're still in the league.
CFL with Nick Arbuckle.
Hey, but speaking of quarterbacks, another exclusive, Treon Harris, old quarterback from Florida, black kid, that was doing all right, not good, not great. With Florida, he got in trouble for punching a girl, I think, on campus or something like that. He might come to Georgia State, is rumored.
We'll take anybody. All right, come on. We'll take anybody. Oh, he just yawned. Jeremy just yawned in the.
So he's gonna play running back at Georgia State.
Remember, he didn't even throw in the SEC championship.
Remember when Georgia State had the quarterback from Alabama, and everybody was like, "Oh snap!"
Star Jackson.
And then he let them all down.
Yeah, he did. You can't name somebody Star, dog.
He's Star Jackson, but not good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Like Star Jackson actually had talent. This guy's just.
Well, we couldn't tell.
He's just a guy.
He's just a guy. Another guy. Oh gosh. Hey, let's jump into these 2K ratings.
Chad Henne's on the Jaguars. I just looked it up.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Sure, I'm on the Jaguars.
Yeah, because I was like, he's on Miami for a minute. I thought he was too.
Yeah. Okay. So these 2K ratings came out, man. The first thing I thought about was the man Jeremy here and Millsap being rated higher than Dwight Howard, just by 2 points, 86. Dwight Howard, 84. You know, I don't see the big deal there. Honestly, I would take over the last couple of years. I would take Millsap over Howard. Howard still got something to prove right now.
You're suspended.
Oh, okay.
Next, who's next? Anyway. Who's next? Anybody speak? I don't. He can't talk anymore. He's done.
Someone actually tried to make the argument to me that Rudy Gobert was better than Dwight Howard. I was like, come on,
okay,
man.
Stop.
You guys have gone over the line in your disrespect for Dwight Howard over these last 3 years.
Put some
respect on Dwight Howard's name.
Dwight has to play harder, man. People are sick of the smiles and all that.
No. Howard has more talent than Paul Millsap. He has done more than Paul Millsap. When he steps onto a team, that team automatically gets better. Paul Millsap.
The Rockets ain't get better.
I mean, Western Conference Finals.
They made it to the Western Conference Finals. When the last time anyone was since Hakeem Olajuwon won.
I would just say with Dwight, it's just his reputation. Like some people still dwell in his Orlando days.
Exactly.
Why does Paul Millsap have a good reputation? He's not.
He's quiet and he kills. He's a quiet killer. Quiet.
He's just like
he's not a killer. He's quiet. He's sorry.
He's quiet and sorry.
He's
a quiet killer. Millsap,
quiet.
Every night he plays hard. You can count on it.
Yeah, he plays hard. I give him
that.
Yes. I'm so tired of hearing about Paul Millsap, man. I don't know.
You're going to keep hearing about him, too.
I'm
going to tell him to give you a shout out.
Honestly, I'm just ready for the Hawks to trade this man or him to just get another contract and go somewhere else so everybody can see that he's only an average player. He's an average player that's going to get a max deal. Why is he 86?
Where do you want him traded to? To Boston with Allis?
I don't care.
Trade him to Boston with Allis. That way you can really let you. That way you can really start hating on the Celtics.
As a matter of fact, send us Alice back. I'll be cool with that.
God. Instead of Millsap?
Yes.
I thought Harrison Barnes was too damn high. I don't care anybody said it. 79.
What is he's
79.
Come on, bro.
No.
Hey, hold on.
After he disappeared like that? He was on the couch sitting with me.
If Dennis Schroeder is a 78, Harrison Barnes is a 79.
Give me Schroeder. Schroeder needs to be 80 then.
He had a great season. Harrison Barnes had a great season, a great regular season.
Stiff neck, that's what I call him.
A good pulse season. He just had the worst finals ever.
No. He had
benchwarming at the Olympics.
Yeah.
And then he benchwarmed.
And he missed the open dunk at the Olympics. That's why I was like, yeah, he's washed.
Put some respect on his name.
Please.
Harrison Barnes, man.
No, I'm not giving him that. That's 79.
I watched a lot of the Golden State games last year because I'm a Curry fan. And Harrison Barnes, he held his own. Other than the finals?
No, the playoffs, he was playing like crap. straight up, go back and look. The whole playoffs run, he was playing like I couldn't see him. He said he was hurt most of the year. That's fine. But when you get wide open shots,
he's a great
y'all saw that in the finals. And in the playoffs, he get good looks, man. And he was missing. I'm like, I mean,
he's their defender, though, man.
Is like, he?
Yeah, he's a good
defender. Also a spot-up shooter. That's what I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah, but now they got KD. But, you know, it doesn't matter, man. He's
79
is worth a great defender. You know, especially a wing defender.
Yeah, I'm giving him 65. Yeah,
look at the ratings now. I'm surprised Nick Batum got 79. That's kind of low.
I seen that, too.
No,
Rose
ratings,
got 80.
The ratings are – what?
Yeah, Rose got 80.
Man.
They gave Rose 80. That knee, man.
He need to be 76.
Hey, man, after these allegations that came out, he might need to go down to, like, 40.
Yeah, he might
I don't know if y'all saw that.
Hey, I saw it.
He took stupid L's.
Yeah.
But that's not assault. Because, first, we don't have that much time left. But that's not assault because it's just like, you know, if she's calling you babe.
Wait,
else want to say? Did y'all see that text? When she was like, yeah, what are we doing,
oh,
babe?
We getting into that? You want to get into that?
Well, I mean, shoot. Well, y'all want to talk about 2K. Paul Millsap was rated higher than Dwight Howard, and he's not better than Dwight Howard.
I think. Wait, what? I thought. Oh, come on.
I love Paul Millsap. I just stood up for him the other week.
Right, so why don't you stand up for him now?
He's
what
not
happened?
Better than Dwight Howard?
We got to wait and see what Dwight does, man.
I can't say for sure.
Dwight Howard is the only guy that will put up 24, 14, 5 blocks, and people will be like, this guy's not a good player just because sports center said he
average.
Wasn't.
Because he could easily – because Dwight can average like 26 if he wanted to. That's why Shaq kept saying this dude could average like 26, 27 if he really wanted to. He should be like a top – 3 player in the
you're
league.
Proving,
like, I'm being so serious.
You're proving his point.
No, I'm not. I'm proving why he's not lived up to. Like,
I mean, it's not about like, what he's lived up to.
He hasn't.
Paul Millsap isn't capable of that. that's the point.
Paul Millsap has done for us has been like the most reliable player we've
had. He's just like a glue guy.
He's not capable of averaging 20.
No, I get that. No, I'm not saying he's the talent that Dwight has.
I would say it's the offense because like if you give him a pick and roll, just like you look at Utah when you had Carlos Boozer and Deron Williams pick and roll. Versus in Atlanta, they got this spread offense where everybody touched the ball. And I think that affects people's stats a lot. Like, you even look at the Spurs.
Yeah, they made Paul Millsaps go up.
Yeah, it's just like.
Well, he's on a team that he's more relied on than
yeah,
even Utah.
Because, like, they feed the ball to the power forward in Utah. Like, you see Boozer.
Yep,
Boozer. You see Boozer at wing left Utah when those stats drop.
Uh-huh.
And Deron Williams fed him that. You look at people like Amari Stoudemire when he was in Phoenix.
You need that point guard. Yeah, you need that ball. You need at least somebody to get you the ball.
Yeah,
and Atlanta, he don't have that. You know,
all those guys are still more talented than Paul Millsap.
No,
that's what the ratings are, right? They're the measurement of one player's individual attributes that make them a good player or a bad player. Dwight Howard has more attributes than Paul Millsap.
Dwight can't shoot.
Yeah, he's just learning how to shoot now.
Well, he can do everything.
Saw all the Instagrams.
He
can do everything else.
He passes. Well, he doesn't pass as well.
No.
Nope. He rebounds better.
Yes. Paul Millsap is just bigger. Smaller.
He can dunk.
He can actually dunk.
Start staying stuck.
He can dunk. He can block. He's just like Blake Griffin.
No. Well, obviously, LeBron got the highest rating, which was deserved.
But it was like 96, wasn't it?
Yeah, he got 96. Yeah, 96.
See, like, so the 2K ratings as a whole went down.
They did. Was that intentional?
You mean to tell me Paul Millsap is in shouting distance of LeBron James?
That's not even shouting. But
no. That's only 6 points. No. I mean, where was he at? 86?
Wait. No,
Millsap.
Hey,
math test.
Yeah, that's 10 points. No, but I agree. So they're not 10 points within distance. You're saying LeBron and Millsap should be like 30 points or something.
I'm saying at least 15, at least.
Okay. All right. Well, shoot. Look, I mean, the top 10 rounded out with James Harden being at 90. Do y'all think he should be at even at 90? Because even to me,
no.
I said that.
Nah.
I don't know what his defensive rating is. Okay. That defensive rating to me should bring him down at least
to an 85. He should be below Paul Millsap. Now, that's somebody that should be around Paul.
Wow.
He should be around Paul Millsap range.
I'm actually surprised you're giving Paul that kind of credit. Okay.
Yeah,
because he does play defense. Like,
he does.
He had one of the best defensive years I've seen.
They were okay. If people forget, Horford and Millsap were the two of the best rim protectors in the league, yeah. If you look at the stats. So it's crazy thing. They were small,
anyway,
but stat-wise, they
were. Eric Yeboah did a story of that on B-Ball Breakdown.
Oh, yeah.
Plug.
Appreciate that, cut.
Yeah, man.
Right.
No, for real. But, yeah, okay, so even – and then Kawhi. That's another – I think I like Kawhi being in the top 10.
Right.
Too.
Absolutely.
He was at 93. I think he deserves that.
Tied with Durant and Westbrook.
Yeah. Yeah, he's up there with them.
Disappointed me in the playoffs, though.
He did. He's not – I think they rely too much upon LaMarcus. And then everybody forgot about Kawhi. I was like, yo, I think it's really more Kawhi's team than it is LaMarcus, because LaMarcus looks shook out there. Yeah. I don't know what his rating was, but he looks scared.
They're definitely Kawhi's team now. San Antonio, they're definitely Kawhi, his team now. Definitely.
LaMarcus got 88.
He got 88. Okay. That's not but see, and I like Draymond was above
overrated.
LaMarcus.
Overrated.
He just can't rebound. That's his only problem.
As long as he's higher than Paul Millsap, I'm good.
Draymond Green got 90. Yeah. And 10 of those points came from the ability to kick people where it hurts the most.
Oh, no.
Oi.
We know that the aim is lethal. The aim is lethal.
I like his versatility.
Yeah, Draymond can do pretty much a little bit of everything. And I don't think people were trying to figure out ways to try to sully how good he was. Like, nah, he's not. It's just the offense. I don't know. I think Draymond would be good in a lot of different offenses.
Yeah, he'll be an all-star on a different team.
Yeah, if he goes to another team, I think he gets better. I think he averages 16, 17 points.
He can do it.
Eight, nine rebounds. He can do six that. Or seven assists.
He doesn't have a post-up game. That's the only thing about Draymond.
Are you talking about Draymond?
Draymond.
I'll say, if he was on any other team, he'd be an all-star. He is an all-star.
No, but people are trying to say they're trying to take away. No, the offense. They're trying to say the offense makes him better than he actually is.
Yeah, like a system player.
Yeah, because he has Steph and he has Clay. So.
And the Olympity looks just as good.
Yeah, nothing dropped off.
Like, okay.
Draymond's just a tough dude, man. I give him credit. I didn't like him for a minute.
It's invalid.
I'm not. And your boy Horford got 85. So, right a step below Millsap, which I agree.
That's not my boy.
Nobody's claiming him anymore?
That's y'all girl.
Yep.
Hey, whose man's
necessary.
Is this?
That's not necessary.
Whose man's is this?
No, that's not. But he tied with Isaiah Thomas, 85-85, which I think IT deserves that. IT's sick.
Yeah, I'm surprised he got
the bump. Yeah, he jumped.
They've been talking about him for years. And like
he's nice.
And he finally got the stage to show off. You know?
Well, what was his punching rating for punching people in the face?
Is that Rondo got 81. And I agree with, I think.
Yeah, he bounced back last year.
He did, yeah. He played a lot better. It's funny to me, like, you think Rondo, it's like, damn, is that low? But it's not, I guess that's kind of correct.
That's decent. Higher than D-Rose, that's right.
Yeah, it is higher than D-Rose.
That's
wow.
decent. Yeah.
Even though Rondo admitted he hasn't played defense in years.
What's Jeff Teague's rating?
You know what? Let me see if I can even.
I'm really interested to know if he's higher than them. Because if he is, that's incorrect.
Jeff Teague. Where did they put him at, man?
And I'd like to formally apologize to Alice. I didn't mean to call her a girl.
You just got real emotional.
I'm sorry. You really hurt the fan base. You cried about us not supporting you. And we cheered when you were drafted. We cheered for you to step up and become a star, and you just did not. And then you left us and said we weren't sure cheering for you.
So, this is the Al Horford Bash segment. You apologize. Okay, wow. We're moving a step forward. Hawks fans are forgiving. They said we weren't, but... I guess we are. All they have is Paul George at 90. That's what I could find. Paul George got 90 on any of the Pacers. Yeah, I don't know where Jeff Teague is.
Why isn't he higher?
I don't know. And he had a bounce back year last year as well. So
he
kind of
tailed off at the end.
Yeah, remember he had that hot streak for felt like 20 games. I don't know how long it was, but he had a good streak that he was balling.
I guess he needs
some. He had a good playoffs.
He did. I don't know. Paul is interesting to me because. For me, he could really be up there with Durant and them. He's just not as consistent as far as scoring wise. I don't get that with him, but he's as far as a defender too. I think he's a really good defender. But Paul George,
he's a scorer out of necessity for his team. I don't feel like he wants to be a scorer. True. Anyway. I mean, he's never been a natural scorer. Even when he was in college, he only averaged 12, 13 points.
Mm.
And when he got to the Pacers, he was 12, 13 points. Like that's in the perfect world, that's what he would be. He's a defender and an athlete. So that's more of what he, if he played with a.
That sounds like Kawhi, right?
Yeah.
Like your shame is like, honestly, trying to make Kawhi a score. Yeah.
He would fit Golden State better than Durant does because, you know.
The defense.
He plays defense, and he's basically an upgrade over Harrison Barnes. He would fit that big offense upgrade. Better.
They said that they're giving KD, they say he's a really good defender. I heard that Golden State was saying that they're expecting him to be, he's not going to be the any liability as far as defense goes. We're good. All right, man, that closes out episode 7 of the A-League. This was another beautiful discussion. We had Kaepernick, the 2K ratings. We had Chris Brown situation. We have Childish Gambino's Atlanta, and we had UGA. What do we expect from them this season? Let's go around the room, do what we do. This is Eric Yeboah, ericyeboah.com, eyeboah5. And let's do a quick shout-out for Anna, who hooked us up with that logo, which was beast. We really appreciate that you could check it out on our SoundCloud, our iTunes, and I can't forget our Twitter as well. It's A-League 1. That is our Twitter handle, so y'all check us out, man.
This is Jeremy Johnson. You know me. I'm Clark Kent, underscore 75.
You know
I get my Superman on. This week, I got to go before Rashad, so I don't have to just throw it in there.
That's so smart. That was so smart by you.
All right, so you know, you talked about Anna from The Signal. First of all, I want to say rest in peace to Rudy from The Signal, my Signal fam. Yeah. I want to say RashadMilligan.com. You can, ladies, you can find me on Tinder. Rashad, I'm 21, and I have the picture of me in the sports arena looking down. It's a very high-quality picture. Just right, swipe right, and we can mess.
All right, enough, all right?
See why I went first?
This is none of that, man.
This is David. Twitter is DMR190. You on Black Planet? No Black Planet, no Tinder, no Plenty of Fish.
Don't do that.
I don't do none of that.
None of which for me either. I'm just regular old Akeem Balaam on the Twitter and the Gram, and at AkeemBalaam.com. Check it out.
Hey, real quick, Cookout. Y'all hook us up with some sponsorship. Stop playing. Stop all that jiving. All right? Hook us up with some. We always eating there. We might go there right now. So y'all hook us up with some sponsorships, man. It's the A-League. Peace.
Napa guy knows that by the foot, there's no better ride than an old station wagon. Room for six people facing forward, two people facing backward, and a whole lot of luggage, lumber, and bicycles haphazardly strapped to the roof. If you can parallel park that beast, you can park anything. And with some quality parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep your land ship running longer, stronger. It's not obsolete. It's a rare treasure. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.